Take a Ride podcast. I'm your host here, Starks. You can find me on my Twitter handle. It's at Starks_industry. You can also find me on, man, I guess it's called Threads, at Fishers of Men 21. I'm not here alone this evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you may be in the fantasy world. I have the wingman, LT the Sage. How you doing today, brother?
Doing good. Glad to be back, Starks, for this new season of fantasy basketball. You can find me on, I guess it's an X.
Yeah,
underscore Sage. Check me out. I will be posting any fantasy basketball updates on my teams just to let my people know what's going on.
Yes, yes. And yeah, I you're right. It's not even Twitter anymore. It's X. Not
even Twitter. It's the X.
All right. So in this episode, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we'll just kind of talk about a little bit of our draft. We like to incorporate people to get people to know a little bit like how our leagues are ran. And we typically like to do Yahoo formats. I mean, we dive into like dynasty formats, redraft flavor, and a lot of different things. But we're going to keep this episode relatively short and just kind of freestyle it, you know, dribbling back and forth. So with that being said, I'm ready to take people on for a ride. I'll pass you the ball, LT, if some news we can go with here today.
Yeah, the main news of the day, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be wondering about what to do with Steven Adams with Memphis Grizzlies. Looks like he had some type of shoulder injury. He's getting surgery, and looks like he's out for the season. They've already called it. And so, you know, as far as if you've picked them up, you can go ahead and drop them. Me and Starks were talking a little bit about who can actually replace him. I'm thinking Santi Aldama is the main guy. Starks was, I think you mentioned Professor X, Xavier Tillman, maybe. Coming up to play, but I think Aldama, he played last year, I think during because Adams was ouchy last year as well for some time. So I think Aldama's the guy. He gives you a little bit of everything, mostly a scorer. I didn't see too many defensive stats last year. I think he can give you a little bit, you know, maybe a block here or there, but you're basically going to be picking up for the opportunity for coming back to him. And Xavier Tillman's more of the defensive guy. Starks, which one would you rather have?
That's a good question, LT. And essentially, you know, in a dynasty format, it would make sense for Aldama. In a redraft format, I actually probably lean towards the Professor X side, Xavier Tillman, just because he has a little bit more, you know, time when he had the opportunity to time to start. And his outlook, you know, essentially is, I think it bodes pretty well for him to have a larger role. You know, just even down the stretch last year, he was around, I think, the final 2 months of the season, he was kind of close around the top 100 range. And that was almost averaging like 10 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, and close to a block a game. Now, honestly, you know, actually, to be honest with you, I'm gonna be putting, it's kind of sad. Like, I'm so competitive. Like, but I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, we have to be honest to the public, and as well as like I have you on, I mean, I'm going to be putting a flyer on him for sure in our league. But I mean, I think Aldama might be available in our league, but I think he's probably going to be more of the beneficial part of filling that role. And then as time progresses on, depending on how Memphis is, well, to be honest with you, let's see, Desmond Bane, you got this. I'm just kind of just looking at the team and how they're constructed. I think they're kind of a win now type of situation. We know that Ja Morant is going to be out for amount of time, and then they have Derrick Rose as a backup point guard, a guard. And then obviously Marcus Smart is probably going to finesse the system of the team. But I think you can count on actually Derrick Rose. I know I kind of segue into that, but I'll get back to the point that I'm trying to make and illustrate is, since this team has been playoff bound and ready with Bane as well, your boy Desmond, feed the venom Bane. I want to say that I think Tillman would be more of the beneficial player that you must, I would say he's a must roster player because centers essentially is not an easy commodity to come in fantasy landscape now.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Now, just letting you know, I can't believe it sucks that we have to talk about this today. But yeah, both are available in our league.
Oh, yes.
get your wallets out. But
right.
But I want to add, too, is that Jaren Jackson Jr., he's a great defensive player, you know, defensive player of the year type of guy. But he does have issues with foul trouble often. And so because he's so aggressive on the defensive side, so either one of these guys, Xavier may get some time, but these guys have, I feel like they have value now either one of them, just based off of that fact. They'll definitely bring Xavier to kind of spell Jaren Jackson, Aldama with Steven Adams out, etc. I know also I was talking to Starks about Kenny Lofton. Kenneth Lofton, sorry, not Kenny, that's a baseball player. Kenneth Lofton Jr. Exactly. The big guy, he is also in dynasty formats, maybe someone you want to pick up. If he's been doing great when they give him playing time, he on any team he is, came in a little overweight this season, but I think he has the opportunity to etch out a role, especially with Adams out playing, in that position on the 4 and 5. So if you're in a dynasty league, you can't do any worse. Or if you're in a super deep league, 16 team league or something, you might want to go ahead and take a flyer on him.
And that's a good thing that you mentioned that, because I was going to say the name that was always popular in dynasty formats is Brandon Clark, but he's out without a timetable, right? So that I actually, agree with you on that it's going to open more opportunity for those players, and especially as well as maybe David Roddy to keep a name on, because he's done pretty good, during the preseason. So there's going to be value in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, obviously don't expect them to be man beaters, but they are some solid players that you want to take in consideration, especially with Steven Adams, because someone's going to fill that role. And then we also know Jaren Jackson, as we like him here. He is not always healthy himself. Mm-hmm. Right. So that is something that, this episode should have just been all about Memphis, right? Because there is a lot to be, gained here in the front court, the front court. So this is something interesting, and we're going to see what's going to come out to fruition out of all of these younger players. And, definitely something we're waiting to see, but yeah, I even forgot, with Brandon Clark having it, remains out of the timetable with the Achilles. And he suffered this torn, in March. So, geez, so this is something to keep in mind. But yeah, Aldama, as LT mentioned, and even David Roddy, and as well as I was about to say Kenny Lofton too, Kenneth Lofton Jr.
It's hard not to.
right. It's really hard not to. If you were to say, well, Starks, what put the players in order and how you would project them? Redraft format for me, Xavier Tillman, maybe Aldama, and then David Roddy. Dynasty formats is probably it's a coin flip between Aldama and David Roddy, but probably Aldama, what LT was saying, and then Xavier Tillman is how I stand.
Yeah, Xavier, just to give some context to our listener, Xavier Tillman, the last preseason game of the season, played about 25 minutes. The second most on the team, right around Marcus Smart and Bane. And again, that's preseason, so he'll probably pay a little bit more. He had 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, 8 points. Aldama played about 15 minutes in that game, but he had 13 points within that time frame, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. So yeah, again, Xavier Tillman for the defensive stats, he's especially in those category leagues, you definitely want to touch up on him. And then Aldama maybe for a points driven leagues as well. But Jake LaRavia seemed to play a lot as well. I'm trying to see. Derrick Rose didn't play, though, so that might change when Derrick Rose is playing. And the other guy you mentioned, David Roddy, played about 16 minutes. So just to give an idea of what their rotations may be come game one.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll just kind of transition to talk about, a little insight about how our league went down. Mm-hmm. A league that LT started from day one, and we just kind of went forward from there. I kind of changed it to a deeper format where you have to choose and really think a little bit harder. So the players we just mentioned, as players like me and LT, like he was saying, get your wallets out. And what we mean by that is we play in acquisition budget waiver wire leagues, right? So we want to have a $100 budget and, get your wallets out as far as what money you want to put out. So since we're in the same league, and of course this is dirty between me and you, LT, but we're obviously facing each other in this league. And by the way, if you guys play fantasy football, LT put a mud hole in me last week in football. I should have saved that for the clutch shot. But
I wasn't going to mention that, man. I wasn't going to say anything, but.
But I know you were thinking it right at some point. Well,
It's so funny, not to segue out, but I told Ray was like, I talked to Ray about it. Uh-huh. And I told Ray, I was like, Yeah, listen, I don't have to tell Starks about the beating I gave him. He knows, and I know that I gave him a beating. Rivals are. We don't have to get into that. We don't have to at all. So he was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, he knows. I know he knows. We're good. We're gonna move on."
Oh yeah, and it's since we're here, yeah, it was bad. He listen, listener, he beat me by close to 100 points, and that's unheard of in fantasy football. Like it was a shellacking that, it just made, if anything that it did, it just really had me looking forward to another match, at least probably not in football, but in basketball this season.
Sure,
But I'll say this, and then we'll get back to basketball, LT. I think your team is this might be legit still the year for you, because you just got players all over the place, man.
man,
And
I'm
I'll
starting to hit the injuries, so but
for sure.
yeah, I'm starting to get the injury bug. But we'll move on.
Yeah, we'll get
We
back.
can
Yeah,
get into that a little bit.
we'll get that later.
Yeah.
So, jumping into our, our basketball league. I think it's about 13, 13 years in the making. So this league, we have some listeners in there as well, so it's a very competitive league. And to be honest with you, I know that we appreciate the listeners, but I'm gonna be honest with you, listeners are better than the experts these days. Like it's they're they're obsessed and love the numbers and analytics and just looking for opportunity as well as we do, and a lot better than us these days. So I'm not going to even sugarcoat that at all. But this year, just kind of going to the first round, we'll just kind of dig in a little bit, some things that stuck out. I'll just touch up on something, and you can, and I know you want to talk about some of the GMs maybe in our league, LT, but I wanted SGA so bad. And I mentioned that in the last episode when we started back, actually last week. And because obviously I'm a Thunder fan, and Thunder, I think this is the team that will potentially make the playoffs this year. Their team is. They got a lot of young talent, man, and as well as one of my boys, Chet Holmgren. I clearly didn't get him, but I paid a price, and I'm sure LT will talk about that on another
Yeah,
player.
that's the big one. That's the
Yeah,
big
the
one.
big
We'll
one,
talk about that soon.
right. So SGA, I got sniped. He went five, and I got Tyrese Halliburton. So I'm happy for that, but I still wanted SGA. But I'll pass you the ball, LT. You can say what you want, man.
Yeah, it starts like it's so funny because if 5 and 6, so for the listeners, I know you guys are touched, pretty locked in on where these players go in most leagues. And SGA and Tyrese usually go 4 and 5. I mean, I'm sorry, 3 and 4. I'm seeing a lot of that, and sometimes they go earlier than that, especially Halliburton. And so getting Halliburton at 6, I think is a steal. So that's just me personally. If I had, if I was able to get Halliburton on my pick, I definitely would. But just his upside on assists, you're gonna, just be able to average 10 plus assists a game is outlandish, old school Chris Paul levels. But Giannis going 3, a lot of people aren't really in touch with that. Giannis has been going later in drafts. I've been seeing on some mocks and some other videos I've watched. Other than that, very some like very very normal picks. I haven't seen anything crazy. Luka's fallen a little bit. I think everyone's scared of Kyrie, and how much Kyrie can take away from what Luka. Why you love the usage of Luka, and Kyrie's going to take away that he needs the ball in his hands to produce at a high clip, and I think they want to kind of relinquish Luka of all those duties that he had the last couple of years. So, but other than that, pretty good. I picked up Curry, first year of having Stephen, the Curry brew. So I'm gonna have some fun with that, and see how it goes, man. This is my first time, and of course, the first time I have him, something terrible is probably gonna happen to him. But I'm holding out, hoping he's healthy all year.
Yeah, so I mean, which is a solid pick, Curry. I mean, to be honest, it just now I think the landscape in fantasy has changed. I think in a strange way, because if you really think about Curry, is essentially like a top three person. Like realistically, I think the things that's probably against him is maybe age now, like in redraft formats, even especially dynasty formats. And then obviously Golden State, and even just days of rest. Them being a little bit of an older team, it would make sense they may take some rest days. But I think it's safe to say that where you got him at, I think you got him an 8. So that's a solid spot. As far as Giannis, I don't think that Yeah, that typically in how drafts are, you know, done now, he's going to typically go around 8 or 9 picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're punting, like, you know, the charity stripe.
But he didn't punt.
He didn't punt, though. I do see that.
So
yeah.
He didn't punt. So that's where I was like, if he would have punted, I would have been okay with it. Mm-hmm. He can't really punt. And so I didn't feel I didn't necessarily feel he picked Jaren Jackson. This the name Heidi Kids. I don't know why that's his name, but that's his name. took Triple J in the second round. And so it's just one of those things where I like Triple J this year. I understand you want to try to get, you know, you want to get your blocks down. But then he takes Poole. And it's just like, Poole. And that's good because it kind of offsets Poole's field goal percentage, right? Getting Giannis, Triple J. But now your free throws are out the window. So it's like, you know, that Poole's a great free throw shooter. He's probably going to average, 4 or 5 a game, if not more. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of just throws that out the window. These guys are not, you know, Triple J hits threes, but Poole's going to be a high volume 3-point shooter too. And Giannis ain't hitting three, especially Lillard out over there. It just feels like a bad combination of players. So I was I would have went someone else. You could have been Curry. I mean, Curry, Triple J, Poole would have been a crazy little squad team right there, or Halliburton, or even just the way his draft ended up going. I feel like you could have paired them with a better fit. But hey, Giannis, he felt like Giannis was the best player available, so that's what he took.
Yeah, and you know what? I think we had this conversation about, man, in fantasy a couple of years ago. Remember when we did the comparison, like Triple J versus Brandon Ingram? You remember that?
Yeah, both of them, I think.
So you were on the side like Ingram is better than Triple J, and I kept saying Triple J is better. And you were right for a few years. I'm like, well, dang, you're right. But now it seems like Triple J was like better than Brandon Ingram.
The issue with Triple J with me, the issue is healthy, right? He has to be available. And he's shown after last year he's been healthy still. As long as he continued to stay healthy, I think he has the higher upside in fantasy. But Brandon Ingram I've never felt like he's been out for a super extended amount of time like Triple J has. And so you want, you know, availability is king to me with some of these players. But Triple J is definitely in fantasy, especially now Jaw's out 25 games. Steven Adams now out for the season. Triple J is definitely the better pick. I don't know if he's second round pick. I don't know. Maybe, but yeah, definitely third round pick.
So that, which segues to the, you know, the second round. And yeah, obviously this is going to make, you know, some people to maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but as far as who I drafted, he is typically going around a third or fourth round. And that's Wembanyama, right? Victor. So I got him super, like, I reached, I'm not going to sit there and lie, I reached pretty high, and that's the 19th spot. That's rich. So let me say this, in Yahoo rankings, typically, I think the average, well, the Yahoo average, I believe, was like 36, but then it bumped up and like a different level where it was like the 26th pick, right? Either way, was this a smart move by me? I wouldn't say it is. I wouldn't say that it's not either. In a dynasty format, I mean, that clearly would make sense in a starter dynasty format. Redraft format, I mean, I'll call for what is, it was very rich, but I think looking at the players that went ahead, you know, maybe the safer bets would have been Domantas Sabonis, maybe Cat, Mikal Bridges, De'Aaron Fox that went ahead before my next pick, Miles Turner, probably more safer, Desmond Bain, Fred VanVleet, Kawhi Leonard. The reason why I just did is because there is, in our league, obviously, there's people that does reaches too. And he was a player, and I know LT already knew he wasn't coming back to him, like, for sure. But it was just a risk that I wanted to take. And I love the potential. Obviously, health, we haven't seen anything, but we know he's supposed to be the next, wouldn't say the next LeBron, but he was like the next highest prospect since LeBron. So I'll pass you the ball real quick, LT, and your thoughts, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So on this one, I don't mind the pick in our league. So if you're in like our league is, it's competitive, but there is, people definitely have bias. So they have players that they'll reach for. They'll get in, you know, weird spots because they want them on their squad. And that's no problem. That's that's how you love to play fantasy. That's how you love to play fantasy. I feel like Victor Wembanyama is a second round. I feel like if he can stay healthy and play 25 to 30 minutes a game, that's the thing. How many minutes is Popovich actually going to let him play each game? And then that's the caveat is like, we don't know. I know preseason he's been averaging right around that 25 mark on some of those games. Of course they've, you know, only played like halves and stuff like that, but on a full game basis, close to 25. But if he can average that 25 to 30, he's a slam. I feel like he's a slam dunk round two pick. And so, and he's young, less likely to get it injured just because of the young factor. And me personally, I wanted to get like the later round picks on this one. So if I got the later round picks, like a 11th or 12th, I was going to slam dunk Anthony Davis, Victor Wembanyama, 100% was going to be my picks, 150%. And so the fact that he, once I didn't pick him, I was like, yeah, he's not making it back to me. Because I knew you were, you go twice. So I was like, okay, if I don't pick him here, and because I got Curry, I'm like, I'm not about to pick up Victor. I didn't feel comfortable picking Victor in that spot, knowing that I have Curry. But if I had like the option to do Anthony Davis, Victor, absolutely, I would make that combination every day of the week on the second round Victor, because you're just your rebounds, your blocks, you're pretty much gonna be in a good spot every week with those two players. But I don't mind your pick, man. I mean, Tyrese with Victor, I don't see a problem, but he that is early. Most people are able to, if you pick in the first round and you pick early, most people are able to pair him with Jokic. And so that's where you're seeing a lot of the bump in. The first round guys are getting Jokic, and then when it comes around, Victor's available. They're doing the Jokic Victor combo, and it seems pretty nasty to me.
Yeah, that would be a perfect ideal spot, Joker and Victor right there, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, on that turnaround, the first pick guys are picking that Victor Jokic, you know, Victor Embiid. You know, those are the combos you're seeing, and I think those are great. But yeah, with you, I mean, it's going to be exciting with him on your roster for sure. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and LeBron calls him an alien. So this is going to be very interesting. I don't know if you have the stats. I have to eventually pull it up. When LeBron came into the league, I would be very interested in see where he was projected at in Yahoo, like where to be drafted at. Like, I don't know. Was you playing fantasy then when LeBron came out of high school?
I don't think I was. I think it was a couple years after LeBron. He was just like a first round pick. But that's being in the Ohio area. He always went way earlier than he was supposed to. No matter who, somebody in our leagues were LeBron homers and picked them way ahead of where he normally would go.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so let's, you know, talk about a little bit of your picks here. You know, Curry that you matched up with the Booker, Devin Booker, man. I think Booker, man, he's going to come out like, you know, people are concerned like, oh, you know, the value, he's going to lose maybe value with Bill there and Katie there. Like, dude, man, I don't think so, man. I think Booker is like, he's that guy. People will say he's him, right? Like, he is legit. Like, going to, I think his value only goes up because of Built, and maybe even open up more for him. And honestly, the offense shouldn't be as slow because Chris Paul's not there. And I mean, I'm not saying that Chris Paul's a slow guy, but he's more of a, how he orchestrates offense is a little bit more different than the high speed offense, which is going to make things interesting in Golden State. But I want to just still stay with Devin Booker. So even when Devin Booker at times is going to be the ball handler, maybe going back and forth with Bill, I think Booker has a chance to potentially, I don't want to say he's going to be inside the top 10, but he could be potentially first round value. I wouldn't be surprised if he is, but I don't think he'll reach that this year. But to pair him with Stephen Curry, and then who was your third guy? Oh, you got Paul George too. Mm-hmm. So you went snipers with points. So I'll give you the ball and your thoughts on your squad thus far, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So after I picked up Curry, I thought that was the best value first round. My first round picks are always value orchestrated. So whoever I think I can get the best spot later in the round, wherever my pick is who I go with. So that was Curry. Close second was Tatum. I was thinking about going Tatum, mm-hmm. but I personally don't like Tatum all like that as a player. I joke with Starks that he's not the best player on his team. But Tatum was there. But I picked Curry. And then on the turnaround, I wanted Trae Young. So I did want Trae, Trigger Trae. Mm, yeah. And Trigger Trae went right before me. Gergs already. I told you about Gergs, man.
Yeah. Oh, he was sniping you back there?
Yeah, he sniped me. He sniped me immediately. Second round, that's when I knew he was going to be a problem. Gergs. So he took Trae Young right in front of me. So it was Anthony Davis, then Trae Young, and then they both went in front of me. So Devin Booker was a good – and to be honest with you, I think the only person that's going to really take a hit is going to be Beal. I think Beal's going to take the biggest hit out of the three guys for sure. Mm-hmm. He's honestly at this point of his career probably the third, and it's unfair because it's Booker and Kevin Durant, right? But he's like the third mouth to feed on that team, kind of like Middleton now in the Milwaukee. So he's going to take a step back, but I think Booker's going to do a lot more orchestrating of the offense than people are giving him credit for moving forward. So I think that his assists are going to go up this year. That's what I'm hoping for, but I'm thinking that's what's going to happen. And he should be able to get his shot a lot easier. And Curry with the Golden State Warriors, they want to kind of go a little slower this year. Mm-hmm. And that's why they got Chris Paul, and Phoenix wants to go a little faster. So you're going to see a lot of shots being put up to accommodate all of those guys. And so I think that's just going to lend to Devin Booker's skill set. So, yeah, I love that pick. Kyrie was there too, but I just don't trust Kyrie. I like Kyrie. I just don't trust him to be healthy all year. He seems to like Dallas, but I don't like him. And then I picked Paul George because I think Paul George, I've been listening to some of his podcasts. He has a podcast too.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to him, man. He seems like on a mission this year, man. He seems listen, and that's just hearsay. That's just me being in tune with what he's been saying. But he feels like he's been disrespected, and to be honest, what is it? Playoff Paul or Playoff P?
Yeah, Playoff P, Playoff Paul.
Playoff P talked about that and how he's like I'm that guy. You know, he said it. He's like, I'm one of the best in the league, and this year I'm going to prove it. So that's what he said. So I always wrong with me. So to be able to put Paul George with Booker and with Stephen Curry, I feel like points and threes are going to be, I'm going to be in those fights every week with those three guys.
Yeah, definitely solid. I'm trying to think, man, what is Skip Bayless called? He used to always clown Paul George in the playoffs. Yeah,
he used to call. Oh, man. He can't. It's hard because it's like, he did. He used to deflate in the playoffs. He really did.
Yeah.
He has to, you know, he talked about how they're going to be, more focused on playing and playing more games. And so if that's the case, if that's what I'm hearing, then I do believe him that they're going to try to actually play more games this year, him and Kawhi.
Yeah, that's honest. So moving right along here in the fourth and fifth round, kind of, I was just going to say, so it's funny because like I never had this guy on my team, but you just said like how LTO says like to me like Jason Tatum not the best player on Boston. I got the guy he always says is the better player, and it's Jaylen Brown. I was able to get him in the fourth round a little bit later for more points that I was looking points and threes at that point in time. Yeah. And honestly, like I could have took my guy there, Chet Holmgren. I just didn't take him because I already had Wimby, but I mean, I could have just doubled up with him to be honest with you. But
full combo.
Yeah, it definitely would have been nice. But going, that's who sniped me. Ray actually sniped me on Maxi. Mm-hmm. I wanted Maxi there for sure because of that James Harden. I know you said you like him this year. I think you said LT or Harden, or maybe I'm wrong.
I like Harden. He's going to land somewhere. I mean, if he does, I don't think that either the 76ers can't afford not having Harden on that squad to be, you know, to the Bucks, a couple other teams are just, they're the East is strong this year. So they can't afford to like hold on to him and not play him. They need him to play in order to be a successful team. So either they're going to ship him or they're going to give him what he wants. One of the two. And so Harden is, like, I keep telling people, I talk to people at my gym all the time. Harden has enough money. He doesn't like, he can just do whatever he wants right now. He's made enough money in his career. It's not like he's a rookie on a rookie deal or something and disgruntled. He can just chill if he wants to. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting where if he ends up landing on the Clippers, but I mean, he just doesn't even want to play for the organization. Nah, I mean, that's pretty clear. I miss the old days in Harden in his prime, man. That's like the perfect, as I was saying about that first episode coming back, like he's like the perfect fantasy player that just suits me.
You love that style of play.
Yeah, just can't, his field goal percentage is not the best, but his points come from the charity stripe. But it's but moving
forward. Tyrese here too, though. No, I was going to say Tyrese, he definitely has the ability to be a top four, top five round guy, but we'll see.
Yeah, he just doesn't. The only thing with Haliburton, he just doesn't go to the charity stripe a whole lot yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's my gripe about his game. But, you know, that's okay. Let's see. I mean, I did get the old school unicorn Boston.
That's your guy. I wanted to tell you. That is,
yeah, go ahead.
The way you find a way to get Porzingis on your spot every year is it needs to be. We need to, like, figure it out, because I feel like you have him every year. That's your boy, man.
Yeah, and he's 28 now, and it's like, gosh, time has flown by, because I just remember him always being young at like 23, 24, but he's 28, you know. So Boston, actually, you know,
that's your team too. Yeah, too. I didn't know you had Brown and Porzingis, so you're invested.
Yeah, definitely invested in Boston, and you know, I had to take a step back. I am. You know, confident in your boy Lillard and, you know, Milwaukee, but Boston's still going to be tough, man.
Got a squad. They got Drew, so and them. I feel like it's between them and the Bucks, but we'll see how these other teams look. I feel like it's a Bucks versus Celtics. You can almost guarantee it for that.
That has to be. Yeah, that's pretty much in our eyes, that's a guarantee. Like you said, we still got to see what's going to happen in the East, but I mean, by the looks of it, it's them two.
By the looks of it. And I'm going to be honest. Like, Lillard's my favorite player. And Drew Holiday, like, makes him, like, clamps him up every time. And so Drew knows how to play Lillard. So if they play each other, it's going to be I'm so scared for Lillard, because, like, Drew is such a good defender. He makes it super hard on Lillard to do what Lillard likes to do. But it may be hard now that he has Giannis. That makes it difficult to just key in on Lillard. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I looked at him, and I like that DeAndre Ayton pick that you got in the fifth round. What's your thoughts on what he'll do in Portland this year, man?
Man, I love Ayton in Portland. I think that's the best, one of the better landing spots for him. Because I think he's always been a guy who was in the kind of the shadow of KD, Booker, and he never got the opportunity. And I think on that young team, he can be a leader, not only a leader, but kind of command the ball when he wants to and get a lot more shots up, a lot more opportunities. I think that's just a great place for him. And no more Nurkic there too, so he's going to be under that basket grabbing rebounds. I felt like that was like one of the better centers to get in those middle rounds. I've been eyeing him on multiple drafts. I think that's just a beautiful spot for him. I also picked up my pick before. I picked up OJ Anubis, my boy OG Anubis. He
seems like he lands on your team every year.
Yeah, he does. It is often he lands on my team. I like Anubis this year, because I just think that he's going to give you all of those dirty stats that you're looking for this year. I think he's going to pump up his scoring just a smidge too. I think with another year under his belt, Toronto's one of those weird teams. I don't know exactly how Toronto's going to end up after the departure, because Van Vliet's no longer there. So I don't know how it's going to look as far as the scoring, but Van Vliet, that's a lot of shots that are going to go to these other guys. So we'll see how that. I think OG is going to be a big beneficiary of Van Vliet kind of going left, going to Houston.
Okay. Then if we looking at the sixth round here, let's see, I wanted, this is the guy I wanted, another Thunder guy. I I figured I wasn't going to get him, but you know, wishful thinking is Jalen Williams from the Thunder, man.
I wanted him again too. I had an opportunity to draft him, but I needed a center.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think he finished like the last like couple weeks of the season. I think he was like inside the top 35 or something. But yeah,
he was on my team last year. I got him super late last year. He definitely helped my team, so he was doing great.
So yeah, and I know that felt good for you. I got sniped in round six, but I mean, hide your kids, like with Ja Morant. Like, of course he's going to be out for a while, but he'll be, you know, obviously a key factor when he comes back. And kind of fast forward a little bit, and let me see who you get. You got
Frank's ketchup.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, man. I wanted Jabari. I got sniped hard by the Avatar. The Avatar, man. I wanted Jabari Smith. I thought it was a lock in mm-hmm. Jabari this pick. And he took him right in front of me. It was kind of hurt me a lot. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and went with Franz. I think he's one of the top scorers on Orlando. Sometimes when I get later in these drafts, I'm looking for people who are going to take that next step on some of these wasteland teams from last year to this year. People mm-hmm. I've noticed from last year getting more shots, getting more opportunities, making more noise. I think Franz Wagner is like the 1A, 1B situation over there with Pablo Banchero or Paolo, Mr. Banchero. I think those two are going to be the top shot selectors and mm-hmm. point guys over on those squads. And he's great. He doesn't hurt your percentages any which way. And just another thing, Starks, I had to – last year was a little easier for me to kind of go take swings and get some players because I was not worried about free throws.
Okay.
Now this year that I had Curry, Paul mm-hmm. George, mm-hmm. I got Devin Booker, all my picks, I had to be very, very understanding of the fact that my free throws are pretty good this year. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure I don't pick anyone that's going to absolutely destroy my free throws. And so you'll see on a later pick that me and Starks actually got a trade off this year somehow. Mm-hmm. Some way we got a trade.
Wow.
I know, right? That's rare to happen. But Franz Wagner, he was a good pick there that wasn't going to hurt me in any of my specific places. And again, I could have picked Jalen Williams here. I went with Franz on that pick. So, yeah.
No, it's understandable. We will talk about that trade here momentarily. So this round hurt my heart because I thought you were going to take the player, and I thought about taking a player too, but it, for some reason, it just felt dirty to take him in the seventh round. He kept like staring at me at the top, mm-hmm. and it was your boy Brook Lopez, man.
Yeah,
you know, we both passed up on him. I'm just trying to understand why you passed up on him again, man.
So we talked a little bit, man. Brook. Yeah. I just think he's going to – I think his role is different this year than it was last year. And mm-hmm. last year, I was able to get him super late. So I got him in the later rounds. And last year, when coming into that year, I felt that there was a lot of centers to get you center stats, you know, and stuff like that in those later rounds that you can really take advantage of. In this particular year, there is some late-round centers, but a lot of the centers from last year that ended up doing well – got mm-hmm. bumped up like four or five rounds. So like Brook Lopez in the seventh round just doesn't sound right to me. Especially with Lillard there, spacing's going to be a little bit, there's going to be less spacing. I don't think they're going to have Brook Lopez just sitting on the 3-point line like he was last year. And mm-hmm. so I just think that it's going to be a little, he's going to take a step back. Now he may up his defensive because the big thing about Lopez is that he was scoring. He was like hitting mm-hmm. like four or five threes a game in some games. He was really on fire early. He tailed mm-hmm. off near the end of the year. So we'll see. Maybe it was a mistake. We both, jumping on him, not passing up on him. But I went young and I went a little bit more opportunity mm-hmm. with that pick.
Yeah, so go ahead and talk a little bit about the Jalen Duren. You
know, man, so I like this guy, man. I like mm-hmm. this guy. So Jalen Duren, he's young. I think he has a lot of opportunity. I'm only worried, and I think I might have drafted him too, but I'm worried about, oh, man, what's his name? Let me see what his name is. Let's see if I can find it. The others, the center that came from the Warriors. I can't think of his name, man. He
was, Wiseman.
Wiseman. There we go.
Yeah.
The Wiseman tale. Yeah. So that's the only thing I'm worried about with Jalen Duren. Wiseman looks, you know, he looks like Wiseman. Has a little couple more years, but Detroit, let's be honest, they're still building. Cade Cunningham is back. So I wanted Cade Cunningham actually.
Same.
In round four, coming back to me, and a junior took him on that second pick, which was an auto pick, I think, maybe. No, junior wasn't. But Cade Cunningham, I wanted him instead of OG Anubis, but again, he didn't come back to me. But I think with Cade back, I think you're going to see Jalen.
He's going to be fun. Cade's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think Cade's going to be fun this year, man. I really wanted him to pair up with the rest of my guys. But I think Jalen Durham's going to have the opportunity to get you 10 to 10, like a solid 10 to 10 every game. I just think he's going to be a solid, young, fun player to have. Has the opportunity to get those blocks out, has the opportunity to not hurt you in too many of the turnover stats. He had a decent amount of steals too in his near the end of the year, when he was scoring like that last week or two of the year, he was averaging over 20 to 25 minutes a game. So I think this year he's the starter. I just think he's going to be fun this year. So I wanted to kind of shore up my center area. I've learned in these leagues, especially our leagues, you need two to three solid centers. Don't wait in this league for centers or they will be gone. Okay. Yeah. Our league is very big man happy. Like there's so many people who love big man in our league. They just evaporate. So you have to get three solid starter centers as soon as you can or when you can, and then go from there.
Oh, and then, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about Steven Adams. Guess who ended up drafted Steven Adams?
Was it you?
No, it was Ray.
Ray's ended up. Oh man, it's funny because I'm not going to mention anything. I wonder if he's going to find out that Steven Adams is out for.
I know.
Dang. And me and you're going to pick up the two guys. He's so mad. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
So then rounds 8 and 9. Actually, this is the interesting part.
This is the interesting part.
Yep. You took Scoot, and I took in the 9th round. I took Ben Simmons, man.
Yeah.
So you want to just go ahead and just expand on that trade that happened, man?
Yeah, we did a Scoot Henderson for Ben Simmons trade. I know a lot of people are like, it was probably like, what are you doing? So the original plan was to have both of these guys on my team. That was the original plan, right? So I picked Scoot in the 8, and Ben Simmons has been consistently going round 9, round 10 in this area. I know it had to be Starks, right? It had to be you, Starks. No one else is looking at Ben Simmons in round 9. No one else. He's completely on the other end of this round of Yahoo. So people would have to scroll down and look for him. So you have to have him on the mind. You have to have him on the brain in order to make this pick. So I pick Scoot in 8. You pick what did you pick? You pick Austin Reeves. I'm like, oh, you picked a point guard, a shooting guard, you know, a guard. He's probably looking for a big man this pick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm not worried about it. So I'm thinking it'll pass you and get to me. I'll be able to get my boy. And you sit on this. This is a round 9 pick, y'all. He sits on this pick. Like, he doesn't pick it until like 5 seconds left on the clock. I knew it. As soon as I knew it went past that, because I think we have about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
As soon as it went past like 20 seconds, I was like, this dude's thinking about drafting Ben Simmons. I can tell just because of how long you were taking it. As soon as it went past, I'm like, oh, that hurt. That hurt. Because I think Ben fits my team extremely well. And Scoot was let's be honest, for me, Scoot was it's like a fun pick. Like Scoot, me getting Scoot was a fun pick. I didn't need Scoot right there, but just getting him was going to be fun. And so that's why I got him. So I was okay with kind of getting rid of Scoot for Ben, because I think Ben actually fits my team. I needed a more assist kind of player. Uh-huh. I think Scoot's not there yet. He may be eventually in a year or two, but Anthony Simons is going to cut into that too much. So, so that's what I went. And Ben looks good. He looks like he's going to be able to do what I want him to do. Steals. You know, be all around great guy, and I can absorb his free throws. I can absorb Ben Simmons' free throws because he's not going to shoot more than 2 or 3 a game, if not that. And so I'm okay with that. I can absorb that with my team and the volume they're going to have. And so we made a trade for Scoot and Ben. How do you feel about the trade, Starks?
I feel good about the trade. You know, that's funny because it's kind of like we sniped each other. I was like, wait a minute, Scoot is still out there, right? And I must have missed it because I was like probably still queuing up players in my, you know, in my box. And I think I typed his name. I was like, why, how come I can't draft him? You know, oh, it's because he's been drafted. I'm like, man, who took him? It's like freaking LT, man. Like, crap, man. So at that point in time, I took Austin Reeves, you know, and Reeves, obviously, like, he's not going to be a world beater, but I mean, he has some games. Like, one of his games that he had last year, I think he had like dropped 35 off the bench. And ever since then, they, you know, LA was like, nah, we're going to give you the keys to start. Mm-hmm. Not saying he's going to have the keys for the team, because we know that's LeBron and AD, but he got inserted in the starting lineup. And ever since then, he's been in the starting lineup and he's been essentially efficient. And I think, you know, as he was a starter, he finished, I think, closer around the 90 to 100 ADP range. And I think then they just gave him another, you know, the contract too. So he's a fixture in the lineup. And I think Austin Reeves getting at 8 or 9, to me, that's value right there. Cause I think he can finish inside potentially the top 75, you know. Absolutely. And that's even with AD and LeBron, you know what I'm saying? So that said, going back to the Scoot and Ben Simmons trade, you know, Scoot, in my eyesight, you know, he has the – it's like LT says, he's going to be a fun player. Damian Lillard's not there. You know, the concern at one point in time is, well, they got Drew Holiday, so he's going to be on the bench. No, Drew Holiday went to Boston. Now, essentially, he has the keys, but at the same time, it's more or less likely, maybe, you know, Simons or Simmons, however you say it, that he's going to take a lot of snipes. But Scoot is going to have a lot of opportunity there. And Portland – essentially is kind of like a wasteland team a little bit.
I don't know. Like that, I feel like they're gonna be in the conversation for the
really
and absolutely because it, like, they have Ayton and Jeremy Grant. It's not like those two dudes are scrubs or rookies. Mm-hmm. Those guys have been in the game for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then they have Simons, who, as we've seen with Lillard out last year, can score 30 points a game if he needs to. Mm-hmm. And they have and they have Scoot, which he's been looking good in the preseason. So, and he's going to have some growing pains, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think they have the opportunity to be one of those sneaky teams that are going to be competitive into the play-in. Now, play-in is, well, I'm not saying they're going to get into the playoffs, but the play-in tournament, remember, there's 8 all the way up to 9 now, is like you can maybe make it, or 9-10, you can make it into the playoffs. But I think they'll be in that conversation. I just think that Scoot in general is not he's an investment. I think at near the end of the year, he's going to be way better than he is at the beginning of your fantasy season. So just be patient with him. But he looks like he has the sauce.
And for sure. And another thing, out of the trade, I wanted more points. And I know eventually there's more upside with Scoot scoring more than Ben Simmons. We know what Ben Simmons is. But the beautiful thing about Ben Simmons, he's played a lot more aggressive in the preseason too.
So unless if I saw it with my own eyes, I would not pick Ben, because I got him last year and he was okay. But he tailed off hard near the end of the year.
Yeah.
But with the amount of shot makers around him this year, I just think that Brooklyn's a little bit of an unknown commodity, but I think there's so much availability for everyone to eat in Brooklyn, where he can honestly get like a 12-7, you know, 12-7-7 type of year, where he's 12, you know, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He can give you that with maybe like a steal and a block a game, maybe more. I just think he has the with the way he's looking this year, he just looks like a player that's gonna explode in the ways that I need him to. I don't need points, you know. I have enough points, so I need the other stuff. And so he just fit my team way better than Scoot. Scoot was, I was supposed to have both of them on my team, but I'll take Ben over Scoot. For the team I had, if I had a different team, I may have, you know, just kept Scoot just to have some fun.
Nice, makes sense. So then we go into, like, we'll finish the couple. We'll just go in like 3 more rounds. So in round 10. Okay, so this is a guy that I was hoping a few years ago was like a sleeper and he wasn't, but I think this year, I mean, for where he's going, I was excited to get him in his Kobe White cheese. In like Chicago, I think he'd be essentially the starter in Chicago. Obviously, you know, you got Zach LaVine and, you know, go ahead, LT, he's going to say something.
No. I was like, yeah, for sure. Okay. I was agreeing with you.
And I just like, you know, he has done pretty good in the preseason. I think it's not expected to do a lot, but I think that takes the pressure off him because I think a few years ago there might've been pressure. And that's probably why he was on the bench, because the expectation from him. So this is just an opportunity in Chicago, since the other ball, I always get the balls mixed up, LaMelo, and then what was the other ball? Lonzo Ball. Mm-hmm. Is he out for the whole season again?
Yeah, he's out for the whole season again. It's the Kobe White show.
Yeah, it's the Kobe White show there. And I like your pick, man. And I know in the fantasy community, not many people – it's kind of like – I think it's a mixed bag in how they feel about THT, Talen Horton-Tucker. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's done well in the preseason. I know that you can't take everything in the preseason, but I like to measure it actually a little bit more in basketball than football, you know, the complete distinct difference.
Absolutely.
And Horton, I think potentially he's starting, I think, in Utah.
Yeah, for some odd reason.
Yeah, I think that's – so Collins is coming off the bench, I would assume.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's playing guard, so they got THT playing the shooting guard role.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that pick. You know, what's your thoughts on, you know, your boy Horton there, Tucker?
I'm not a big THT guy. So, but at this pick, I'm looking for opportunity. And right now, based on the preseason, he's going to be playing 30 minutes a night. And so you can't beat that at round 10. He scored like 26 points the other day. Now, granted, Lauri Markkanen didn't play. Yeah. John Collins didn't play. So let's keep a grain of salt. He played well, but some of the other scorers and players were not playing that game. But he's going to be – he's there, and he's going to play close to 30 minutes a night on that Utah team. And so, as we saw last year, they're a scrappy team. They had a good, you know, good compiled team. And so if he's able to give me – 30 minutes a night, I'll take whatever production he can give me. And he doesn't, again, another guy that doesn't hurt me considerably in some in different stats that I'm already strong in. So it was a great, it was a slam dunk pick for him, me. And again, I like Kobe White too. I was looking at him on this pick, but again, I have enough point guards. So I need a forward. And so I had enough, but Kobe White looks, I think he has all the opportunity to destroy this ADP.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, man, it's about to be a long touchdown from Pittman. Gosh, fantasy football. Okay, so with that said, with just two more rounds. So I took the chance on Miles Bridges in the 11th round. If he comes back, man, that's the hope. I mean, I guess he's supposed to – they said he's. I think he served the 10 games, so he needs 20 more games. So if that's the case, that's only a month away. Hopefully they'll accept him and embrace him. And if he plays again, I mean, there was one point in time he was like – inside top 25 value at one point in time. I'm not saying that's what he'll be, but you give me like even top 75 from him, like of course top 50, I'll be excited. You give me top 75 from around 11, like that's massive value. And the guy you picked, my boy, Trey Murphy, the third, Trigger Trey, I was definitely looking at him at that point in time, but I did wanted to take the swing on Miles Bridges, you know, what's your thoughts on – and then I see that, like, Ray took Shaden Sharp. I was also looking at him as well, too.
I was looking at Shaden Sharp, too. It's funny. I would have probably taken Shaden Sharp if I knew I wasn't going to have Scoot. But I had Scoot and DeAndre Ayton. And so it was like, I didn't want to pick – you know, I didn't want
– Blazer Party.
Yeah, Blazer Party. Like, I think they all three of those guys, plus Simons, I think they're all going to eat this year. But I don't like too many of one, like three players on one team doesn't seem right unless it's Westbrook, Durant, and Harden from the Thunder. So yeah, I picked up Trey Murphy because he's out, by the way, for the first couple of weeks of the season. I personally don't care. I needed a little bit more big man stats. So I just needed somebody that can give me a little bit more big man stats from any position. And he was the best player available. He gave me that kind of push there. Was looking at Asar Thompson, one of the rookie twins that you guys know. He looks good too. Over in Detroit's gonna have a lot of should have a good amount of opportunity over there in Detroit. I just went with him. I just went with Trey Murphy because I know when he comes back, he's going to slide right back into that role and provide, you know, all of those juicy cat rebounds, blocks, steals, those type of cats I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll just touch up on the last round here.
Yeah.
You sniped me pretty hard here. I never say his name right. You know his name, grammatically correct. Jeremy's a Sochan, Sochan.
Sochan. I think it's Sochan. I think.
Yeah, I think he got granted the permission to start in San Antonio. Is that correct? from Pops, right?
He is the point guard.
Starting point guard. That's a PF, a power forward here on Yahoo, but go ahead.
Yeah, they'll probably update that eventually after a couple games. But yeah, he's unless if Pop is joking, Jeremy Sochan is the starting point guard over in San Antonio. So that's crazy that Popovich is even allowing that. First of all, it tells you how much he's kind of moved forward. But he's the starting point guard with maybe one of the best up and coming players ever to witness the game we've ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. Easy assist. So if he's even in the area of passing him the ball and Victor doing his thing, you get an assist for that. So I'm going with opportunity there. He also gets you some of those sticky stats too. So he's one of those players. So I wanted those guys. And again, he's not going to be going to the line every day, every game. So he's not going to hurt me in the free throw category either.
For sure. But yeah, I definitely love that pick, man. That was the guy you sniped me on pretty hard. Mm. I end up just taking Bruce Brown. I mean, that seems like a boring pick, but to be honest with you, from my understanding, he may be starting in Indiana, man.
Yeah. I don't know how, but he's made it. He's I think he's starting in Indiana. I don't know if that says more about how good Bruce Brown is or how bad their guard situation is, but
if Bruce Brown, if that sticks, even throughout the season, I'm excited because he's going to be to me, that's the type of stats that he puts up, it's across the board. That's top 100, top 125. And I'll take that at that spot. So, that's it. Unless you want to talk up on anything else, we can get to the clutch shots, man.
No. I think the last thing I wanted to mention out is that I was able to get Gordon Hayward in the 13th round. But he should be, with all the turmoil going on in Charlotte, he should be back to, being a primary, primary guy over on that team. So other than that, did you have anything else, Stark?
No. I mean, if you want to just talk about a little bit, you could just talk about the trade that you were trying to get off about Abe or something like that.
Oh yeah. So the guy in our league, he's a Curry homer, one of the Curry homers in our league. So I think I don't know if he just went Luka or he wasn't there to draft Curry, but he usually goes Curry first round every pick if he can. And Luka was, he picked Luka or maybe auto drafted Luka. So now he's coming to me like, bring Curry home. And so he tells me, bring Curry home. I'm like, cool. I'm guessing Luka's going to join the club. And because he likes Curry so much, maybe I can get another, I'll take Luka with another piece to satisfy his needs. But he doesn't even start with Luka. He starts with Desmond Bane. Tells me to get Desmond Bane and Curry are like the same person, to be honest. Yeah. Bane's maybe, obviously he's score a little less points. He might go off. He starts telling me, oh, John Morant's gone for the first 25 games. Bane's going to be basically the main primary scorer. He's not wrong. He's not wrong, but I know I'm not a, rookie. He knows I'm not a rookie. For 25 games, but there's still 82. And then, 70 of those are 70 of those are like important for us in fantasy. So I just that sounds great. Desmond Bane, who else is coming for the party, right? I'll steal someone else, but to not have, and this is what I will say as a rule number one, you do not want to go through your seasons without your first round pick. No matter what I get it. Maybe you can get a crazy two man trade, two round two guys. Maybe that's enough. But to get a round three guy, right? He got Desmond Bane in round three, and then to maybe add someone from the back of his draft. I just can't do that because that just messes up everything you did throughout that draft to try to conduct this strong team. it kind of throws it out the window. Desmond Bane's not bad though, because again, he's basically Curry and him are basically the same player. If you think about it, but they're, you know, Bane's a little different, and he will lose value once Ja Morant comes back.
And you know, it's very interesting because I was talking to him a little bit on trades too, and he was wanting Wemby, and
of course he does. Everyone wants Wemby,
right? So it was even more interesting. First, it's just like, dude, can we just do like small trades? Like, because he obviously is like, man, I like Halliburton. I'm just like, why? Like, why do you like Halliburton, right? And like, and then he's like, well, Wemby. And I was like, it's like, what does anyone want to dance? I was like, I mean, everybody can dance, but like, the price has got to be right. But sure. I mean, like how you said he offered you Bane for like, started out with Bane. He started out with Drew Holiday.
Oh, come
like
on.
Wemby. I'm just like, What are we doing here?
You gotta, Luka has to dance, man. Luka has to dance. Like, you can't come to get these top flight guys and Luka's not dancing, man. So it's kind of like you're gonna be dancing alone on the corner of the party, right? If you're bringing Drew Holiday with you. I'm not dancing with you, you know. It's gotta be Luka, and he didn't. The fact that he went straight to Bane, he didn't even go to who's his second. He didn't even mention Mikal Bridges. He went right to Bane.
He didn't even go to Bridges.
Not even Bridges, like the Bane. And he mentioned Bane because I am a Bane guy. Bane's he's one of my, you know, I like him as a player. He's a top five, you know, 10 player on my list of players I like to watch throughout the season. Because he's just got this weird build, man. I don't know if you ever looked at his, like,
oh yeah,
how he's like, his build is just super weird, man.
He don't look like a basketball player.
Like a basketball player, man. He just looks like a football player.
Yeah.
A running back. Like,
yeah, he looked like a running back. Almost like a Saquon Barkley like, or something.
Just like compact. And I just love how he just goes out there and just like shoots all these threes. He looks so weird doing it. He's great at what he does. He's a great player. 100%. Yeah. But he just has this weird like body package that's not what it should be. But maybe Bane can dance with like Mikal Bridges. You know what I mean? Like if you
can
Mikal Bridges and Bane for Curry, I might go, okay, maybe we can talk.
Yeah.
I'll win another random piece on my bench, but like that's not how the conversation went. So we'll see. He might change his mind once Curry starts splashing threes everywhere.
Right, exactly.
He might change his mind. Bane and Bridges. I'll do that. I'll do a Bane and Bridges, you know, for Curry. That just, you know, in our
that
league,
because
they're so deep, having better, more quality players is more important. But
So before we get to the clutch shot, I was going to say on top of that, like a cheat code, but I guess it's not a cheat code for like the more experienced people that are, you know, do fantasy leagues. First, he said that Luka is home, but It eventually later down the road, he did ask me, he's like, well, what do you want to pay for Luka? Right. So here's one thing of the cheat code. Like I said, this is for maybe the newer people, and LT knows about this. He looks at it typically later in the year. Maybe he knew in the beginning, I don't know, but Dallas is one of the teams in the playoffs where it counts in fantasy. They only play two games. Mm-hmm. Right. So with that said, I think maybe that might've made Abe think about that, like, oh shoot, I have a top player, but there's only two games that week in the playoffs if I make the playoffs. And another player that sticks out in mind is I think in Charlotte, so like LaMelo Ball, for instance, only has two games in a prominent playoff week. So like, obviously you don't want to measure players automatically and get so fixated on how many games they're playing that week, but especially two games with the first round value type of player, that's actually really massive, right? Versus like 3 to 4 games of a first round. You're obviously going to just – that's just something to keep in mind. But I think as a – because he said he was home, but again, his tune changed the next day. So that's what I'm thinking that maybe he's seen. So that's something to keep in mind when it comes to fantasy like playoffs. But obviously, you just want to take that in a grain of salt, but you still want to at least have that in the mentality in your drafts. I mean, obviously, you probably drafted now, but at least – know that before the season starts Tuesday. You want to say anything on that real quick, LT?
Yeah, I know last year I really got into the weeds on that, on picks I was doing. I didn't do it too much. I didn't know about Dallas, but the thing about that is that if you feel like Luka or Kyrie can take you to the promised land, you can work around that last week. if you plan for it, or if you end up with Luka or Kyrie. But I don't know if Luka, I just don't know if Luka can, I don't, like last year, I felt like Luka can take me. He can carry me where I was getting to. But I don't know if Luka can do that this year, especially with Kyrie all week. I mean, all year. I just don't like it. So I wouldn't have picked Luka second. I think that's an auto pick in Yahoo rankings. But if he was actually present, like Abe, I don't think he picks Luka. I think he probably goes Tyrese, Halliburton, Embiid, or Curry.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we'll go ahead and get to the clutch shots. And I guess it just goes for me, just going back to, fantasy football. LT's team is very stacked. I know that he has an injury and concern about the running back for the Rams that he picked up on the
waiver. His backup.
But I wonder who is now, though, not even the starter. I just seen that this morning. I'm like, crap, man.
Is it Gaskins? who's starting over there?
Exactly. It's either Henderson or could be Henderson and Royce the 5'9", I think. Royce Freeman. And I think Ray picked up Henderson.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're gonna get our Wallace out again and hopefully see. I need to see the stats and who's actually getting the work there.
For the next four weeks, I got to figure out what to do without him. It's annoying.
But your receivers, like, cover up the holes in your team, though. Like, you got receiver ones out the yin-yang. It's ridiculous.
I also had good running backs. James Cook did good today, though. But
I need
– my receivers are cool, but, like, they have stinkers every now and then. DK Metcalf's hurt now. He didn't play today. I luckily took him out because I was like, it sounds like he's actually going to miss a game this week. So he did. I put Mike Mayer in from the Raiders. This is great. I love it. But hopefully I can win today without them. So we'll see.
Okay. And I'll pass you the ball, man. You got a clutch shot?
Man, clutch shot. I'm glad basketball's back, man. Football's cool. I know that. A lot of people love football, but I love basketball, man. It's the main sport I like to watch. I literally watch Red Zone for NFL is what I watch. So it's the only way I can stay engaged to a game for like 2-3 hours on Sundays. But basketball, I can sit and watch a random basketball game for hours and just understand and know what's going on. And I'm just ready to be able to interact with that again. It's going to be fun watching these guys go at it. Victor Wembanyama, all these new teams. My boy Lillard over in the Bucks. It's just an exciting year of basketball, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and then the last thing before I, give the handles here is, who comes – I mean, we have our thoughts on the East. Who comes out the West this year, you think, man?
Man, you would ask me that. Man, I hate this. This is boring, but I think the Nuggets are still the best team in the West. I think they are still the best team. I think the opportunity there for the Lakers to take it, they got a crazy bench right now. Their bench is absolutely insane. I've never seen a bench like that with Rui Hachimura. They have the guy, I can't think of his name, but they have a strong bench. Oh, they have Christian Wood. Yeah. They have a strong bench, so that team is stacked. But I think the Nuggets are just the team to beat, and they're the best team. I don't think the Warriors are going to be in it. They're a little old. I don't know how I feel about that Chris Paul. Like, it looks decent in the preseason, but he's slow, man, and it's just like I don't know. They don't play Kuminga enough. There's a lot of issues I have with that team. And then that's it. That's all I can think of on the West side, man. Like Dallas, I don't think that's going to – I think they'll fizzle out in the playoffs.
What's your thoughts on Phoenix, man? No? Yes, it feels weird, right?
I don't know. I just don't know. I it would make sense that Phoenix is the perennial favorites. They got Nurkic over there for play center, so they have a big man. If they need to play a big man against like Jokic, that's exactly why they picked them up, right? They needed a big man, Christian Wood too. These teams need big men to go against Jokic and have big bodies against them in the playoffs. But I just don't know. I don't know if they're good enough. KD's as much as good as he is, he's old. He's getting old too.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think they're going to be top four in the West, though. I think they'll be a top four squad in the West for sure, just off of talent. But I think it's hard to beat the Nuggets, man. It's hard to beat the Nuggets. You got Jamal Murray's throw over there. He's maybe unappreciated. Your boy Michael Porter. I think Michael Porter is unappreciated as well as what he does and the length he adds to that team. Mm-hmm. Then you just have the Joker, man. You got to stop him. And I don't know if anyone can. So maybe Victor Wembanyama. Maybe. Sochan, Jeremy. Jeremy. Man the gates. Hey, I want to see a 10 assist game from Jeremy Sochan.
Hey, shut up.
Yeah, who you think is going to come first? 10 assist game from Sochan or a 30 point game from Scoot, man? Who do you think is going to get that first?
I think Scoot would get 30 point game before showing up.
Look at that. We'll keep looking at that. Who gets it first? Scoot with the 30 points or Sochan with the 10 assists? Can't believe I'm even saying that in a
sense. That's just unheard of. I mean, that's wild. And real quick, so Lakers bench, like, it's interesting. So is the Prince of All Saints, is he going to start at the four, yo?
Yeah, I think so. I think they have Torian Prince starting.
So, I mean, they, like you said, they got Rui Hachimura. They got Christian Wood on the bench.
The guy from the Knicks. What's his name? He's like a Knicks scorer.
Guy from the Knicks.
Young.
I know they got Gabe Vincent from the Heat.
Gabe Vincent. That's
Man,
they're Lakers are. They got a squad, man. They're coming for blood.
Yeah. So for the West, for me, I think it's not a boring pick. I think Denver makes sense. To be honest with you, I feel weird with Phoenix. You know, they obviously their squad is cool. Something feels weird. You know what? This team is weird, but I think they're going to be, of course, it's always if they're healthy. I think they're going to be healthy, and that's the Clippers. I think they're going to actually be healthy for once.
Yeah, I do. I think this is the year they play. I think Kawhi and Paul play a lot of games together this year, more than they have, and I think they stay relatively healthy. And with the there's new rules in the NBA. So as far as load management in general, these older players are going to get load management because they did set the rules for older players who played a certain amount of games that are able to have some of those. Mm-hmm. They have put rules in place to kind of stop that from happening as often as it was the last couple of years. So load management will be less of a thing. It still will be a thing for players like Paul George. Kawhi probably is in that category. LeBron, those type of players who have been playing for years, Chris Paul, Stephen Curry, those are all going to be issues, but it's going to be less of it. It's going to be more regulated. So you'll see a lot less of that random players not playing type of thing.
And as we're recording, some news came out. Your boy, I think you might have drafted him. Denny signs a 4-year contract with the Wizards, man.
Yeah, Denny's. They went to Denny's. I think he plays. Hey man, you gotta have breakfast. I think he plays a big role there. I think he plays often. Again, the Wizards are a wasteland team. Okay, everyone.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I wanted Kuzma too this year. I didn't get him, but Kuz went a little earlier. But they're a wasteland team, guys. There's gonna be so much like difference of what's going on. I think Poole had like 41 points.
Oh yes, I wanted him so bad.
And then the next game he went for like 2 for 15. So like just understand how that team is going to be.
Hey, maybe he's my new Harden, man.
He might be your new Harden. I'm so surprised you didn't get him because
he got him in the third, right. Oh,
not
man.
Even it doesn't even fit his team. Excuse me too. It's like it doesn't even fit your team. I'm like, you have you have Aaron Jackson Jr. and Giannis, and you pick Jordan Poole. I guess he wanted points, but. That makes sense, but it just didn't fit to me. That team is so wastelandy.
Yeah.
You want to like Denny's. I think Denny's is going to be a great like 3-point source of threes. He's going to have his games. Remember, Rui Hachimura is not over there anymore. So it's just Kuzma and Poole and then a bunch of guys. And so Denny's is going to be good over there, I think. And I'm glad they signed him. That means they're invested.
Yep. All right. So, guys, yeah, so we got a draft tomorrow. One more. Hopefully I can get Poole tomorrow in our draft tomorrow. We'll probably have that draft like either 5 or 7, but I'll keep you updated on that. Mm-hmm. So, listeners, thank you guys for tuning in. You can find me on, it's X now, which is @Starks_industry. And you can find me on Threads at @FishersOfMen21. I'll pass you the ball. LT, where can I find you at, man?
Yeah, you can find me on X at LT the Sage. Just look it up. You'll find me there. Also, just a real quick, Bilal Coulibaly, Redemption. I think he's one of the listeners on our he picked them up late in the 15th round. If he's listening, great pick, man. That's a good pick for Washington. He may start. Yeah, LT the Sage over on Twitter X.
All right. And the last thing on Redemption, I'm glad you brought him up. He's pretty ignorant. He played me in the finals of last year in the other league. I squeezed by. And I think that's why he named him himself Redemption, because he's really trying to. He's coming hard. So
take it down.
Yeah. So you guys, thank you for tuning in. Have a good evening, morning, afternoon, and take a ride.